Right. Thank you, everyone, on this very eventful Tuesday, the 28th of May 2019. We are opening council meeting number 39, and we're opening at 5:32 p.m. I welcome councillors, management, and members of the public. Thank you for attending our council meeting this evening. We respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Boonwurrung and the Woiwurrung Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and pay respects to their elders past and present. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place for events of social, cultural, educational and sporting significance. Today we are proud to say that Melbourne is a place for all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. This week is National Reconciliation Week, and this year's theme is Grounded in Truth. Walk together with courage. The City of Melbourne believes that reconciliation must live in our hearts, in our minds, and in our actions, as we all work together to create a nation that is strengthened by respectful relationships between Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and all other Australians. At this time, we also wanted to take a moment to say a few words about the passing of 25-year-old Courtney Heron in Royal Park. On behalf of the councillors and staff at the City of Melbourne, I would like to offer our deepest condolences to the Heron family on the tragic death of Courtney. As a community, we are all deeply shaken and saddened by this crime and the manner in which Courtney died. No community is immune from the issue of violence against women, and the statistics are absolutely devastating. We also know that rough sleeping and homelessness are major issues for our city. Courtney was sleeping on our streets, in our parks and other public places. Research shows that there are incredibly complex circumstances that can lead to rough sleeping here in Melbourne, but no one should be sleeping on our streets. We need to ensure that we treat vulnerable people with respect and dignity, and we help them to access support services. Here at the City of Melbourne, we are investing in a number of initiatives, programs and services for rough sleepers and funding for partner agencies to help support rough sleepers, and we're working very closely with the state government and other agencies to be able to address this issue of rough sleeping. So whilst we all continue personally and professionally to do more across two major issues in our community, being violence against women and helping rough sleepers in pathways out of homelessness, one of the unfortunate consequences is that we've had this tragic death of Courtney Heron. And whilst Courtney struggled with homelessness and mental health issues, she will be remembered by those close to her and now by the public at large as somebody who was very caring and had a kind heart. And again, we send our condolences to Courtney's family for everything that they're going through at the moment. So as we return to the business of our council meeting this evening, I take this opportunity to notify members of the public that this meeting is being recorded and the audio will be made available on the City of Melbourne website before close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will also be available on the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Should you have any queries relating to the conduct of this meeting, to the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of our Business Council team at the end of the meeting. It's time for everybody to check their mobile phones and make sure that they're turned to silent or off for the duration of the meeting, please. This agenda tonight comprises one confidential report from committee, 13 reports from management, six of which are confidential, and one item of general business. Please note this evening that we've had apologies from our Deputy Lord Mayor, Aaron Wood, and also from Councillor Philip Lelou. Disclosure of conflicts of interest this evening, councillors. If any councillor has either a direct or an indirect interest as defined under the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by council this evening, please disclose the nature and type of that interest prior to consideration of the relevant item. Thank you. It's now time to confirm minutes of previous meetings. So I'm calling on a councillor, please, to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of council meeting number 37, held on Tuesday, 30 April 2019, and the open meetings of special council meeting number 38, held on Thursday, 9 May 2019. Have I got a councillor? Councillor Oak, thank you. Seconded by Councillor Francis Gilley. All those in favour, please raise your hands. That's unanimous, so I declare the motion carried. And we're underway, councillors, with hands going up and down as appropriate. So we're declaring that motion carried, and we're moving on to item four. Are there any matters arising from those minutes that councillors would like to discuss at this time? No? Great. Thank you very much. So the following submission, we're doing correspondence and submissions, and thanks always to the public for taking the time to make submissions. The following submission has been received in accordance with the Council's Meeting Procedures Code in relation to Agenda Item 6.6, Shrine of Remembrance, Request for a New Agreement and Increased Funding Support. An item of correspondence has been received from Mr. Dean Lee, CEO of the Shrine of Remembrance. In relation to Agenda Item 7.1, proposed attendance by Councillor Oak at the Climate Action Roundtable and Asia Pacific Climate Leadership Forum in Brisbane and Strategic Partnerships for the Implementation of the Paris Agreement meeting in Canberra, both in June 2019. We've had an item of correspondence from Chris Thrum. Status of confidential items. Councillors, do any councillors at this point wish to discuss the confidential status of confidential agenda item 6.9 to 6.13? No, thank you very much. On to reports from committees. There are actually no reports from committee for consideration in this open session. So we can move to reports from management, item six on the agenda. There are seven reports from management for consideration in open session this evening. The first one is the records of assemblies of councillors. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No, thank you. Then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Pinder, seconding. Thank you. Would the mover like to speak to the motion? Would the seconder like to speak to the motion? No. Any other speakers to this motion, councillors? Thank you. Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Excellent. All up and therefore in favour, and therefore the motion is carried. Item 6.2 is the Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Program Reserve Quarterly Report. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No, thank you very much. Oh, sorry, Councillor Watts.
Excuse me, it just occurs to me, it's not so much a presentation, but I do have a question to ask. Is now the time or will I...
Now is the time. Please do ask your question.
I note reference to the parking situation, and I'm wondering if there's anything of a more formal nature has occurred in relation to the southern site at QVM, which will impact on the parking that we're discussing. So perhaps...
Thank you, Councillor Watts. I'm going to ask Joe Wandell to respond to the question if you're able. Good, thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. The reference to the car parking arises from the April 2019 Council resolution for officers to do more work on option A, including looking at design, logistics and car parking, up to 500 car parks, which may be provided on the southern development site. So that is work in progress. No further formal work has occurred to this date.
Any other speakers or questions? No? Good. Well, I'm going to move the motion that's on the screen and I'm looking for a seconder. Councillor Oak, thank you very much. In moving the motion, we are noting that the resolution is to accept the report on the reserves and the spending that have happened as at 28 February, so in the last full quarter, which shows good activity at Queen Victoria Market, all in accordance with the plans underway and a reserve, healthy reserve balance in relation to the works to be undertaken as we move forward in the precinct. I think that all of us are monitoring with interest the activity at Queen Victoria Market. There have been a number of things that happened during the quarter to progress both the amenity of the market, the way in which traders and public and people using the market interact, as well as good progress in relation to the Munro site and works around the market. And noting that everything is in accordance with what was planned within the budget and the timeframes that we're anticipating. And long may that continue. I'm looking at Councillor Oak to see if you'd like to add some comments to that.
Just briefly, Lord Mayor, acknowledge the report and thank Joe Wandell and team. This is the next of our, you know, we receive these reports quarterly and it is as we expect. As you've already detailed, and I also acknowledge the $37 million there that we're noting as the reserve balance. And I just like to acknowledge, you know, there's a lot of work that has happened since December, between December and February, lots of planning, lots of design and lots of options. But there's also, you know, actual, you know, work on the ground as well with lighting and the temporary trader containers. And yeah, so I think it's a positive way forward and as per we've expected in plan. So thank you to the team.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. Are there any other speakers to this motion? No, then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hands. That's unanimous. So we declare that motion carried. Thank you. We're now moving to 6.3, which is the Council Works Program third quarter report. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No, thank you very much. I'm going to move this motion and I'm looking for a seconder. Councillor Rees? Yes, thank you. This is a quarterly report. We're seeing a lot of good detail in relation to the Council Works Program. And thanks to Rob and the team for preparing the report. And obviously, it's a very busy agenda in relation to the number of projects we have underway. And it's great that the team are good at that because based on future projects, it'll be unrelenting in terms of activity going forward as well. Of course, lots of great projects within the report to be updated. And I was just going to pull out in particular that, you know, we note that there have been some funds that won't be used in that quarter that we've got ongoing works in which they'll be applied. We know that we are working towards, I guess we call it a surplus at the end of the year based on the progress of current works, but working hard to get as much done as we can. I really just wanted to pull out of there the the items of co-investment, I guess we'd call it, where we have more partners coming in to provide funding for our activities, and in particular the contribution around safety and security to the program of works happening around the city, which I think is a good reflection of partnership with the state government on how we make sure that our city is not only welcoming but as safe as possible given current challenges experienced by in cities around the world on how to keep our populations, our citizens, our visitors safe, but also the good work and leadership that's happened with our team and the state government about making sure that that work is appropriate and appropriately funded and is able to roll out in a timely manner in a way that causes the least disruption. So that was one item that I particularly wanted to pull out and speak about this quarter. So thank you, and I'm looking to our seconder, Councillor Rees. Did you have some comments you'd like to make?
Yes, just quickly, if I may, Lord Mayor. Look, I agree with everything you have said, and add to it by saying that the City of Melbourne does indeed have a record investment in projects underway at the moment. We are responding to the challenges the city faces as a result of a growing population, and our council works program is rising to that challenge. Of course, that record investment and record level of activity is occurring at the same time as there is record building activity going on in the city with new towers, new buildings to meet a growing population, and of course a record investment being made by the state government as well in projects, all of which is a long way of saying that it's a really good time to be in the business of manufacturing orange witches hats, because there are a lot of them around this city at the moment. And look, we, I think, as councillors, will be the first to acknowledge that this does mean that residents who we value so highly are inconvenienced from time to time as this unprecedented level of activity and disruption occurs. And some projects as well are on time. Some projects are not running on time. I would commend officers, and in particular the CEO, for the new reporting layout that we have for these projects. I think it makes it so clear and so much easier to access relevant information about the projects. I did want to just flag one particular project and ask a question of Rob Adams about it, and that goes to South Bank Boulevard, which I believe is our single biggest infrastructure project currently underway. So I did, as councillors often do, went for a walk around South Bank Boulevard the other evening with a resident who was sort of pointing out some of the disruption going on through that part of the city. And he asked me a very good question, which was, could we please explain what the cause of the delay on that project has been? And more importantly, can we outline when we believe that project will be complete?
Thank you, through you, Lord Mayor. As to the completion, we were due on Monday evening to do the line markings on the section from Sturt Street to St Kilda Road. Unfortunately, rain has delayed that. Otherwise, that section of road would have been open on Tuesday. It is actually complete. It just needs line marking. So while we all need the rain, I'd hope for a short period of dry that we can get those line markings in. It looks like the soonest we will get those in are maybe Saturday and Sunday, when we look like we're going to have a dry spell. So that is the section from Sturt Street through to St Kilda Road. The remainder of the civil works, which run from Sturt Street to City Road, are due to be completed early in the new year, February in the new year. So those works are underway now and will continue through. The landscape packages are following. The first landscape package is under construction outside the recital hall. And all of those landscape packages, we're trying to accelerate them because the project has been slowed down. And we would hope that they are complete towards the end of next year or early into the following year. But there is an acceleration plan in place, and we're hoping to bring those dates forward. In terms of why has that first section run behind time, there have been a number of issues. Some of them, I think, on our side of the table, where possibly we haven't been as smart in predicting some of the delays we would actually have received through that program, and we have been delayed with Vic Road signalling and City Power and their assets. There was also a change to the foundation depths on the tram poles, given the conditions of the soil, and that actually delayed the project as well. So there have been a number of consequences. I make no excuses. We're trying to overcome those. But once you get in the ground, you quite often find the unexpected, and that was the case with, say, the tram poles that have gone down to a depth of about 7 metres to support them. So I'm looking forward to actually a bit of clear weather and some white lines on the road so that people can appreciate the first section of that early in the new year, early next week.
Thanks, Rob. I have nothing further to add, Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Yes.
Could I ask Rob a question on that?
Of course you
can. Rob, what are the plans to keep the various stakeholders informed about these delays? The communications plan.
Through you, Lord Mayor. Yes, we, Councillor, we do actually produce on a regular basis a bulletin that goes out to all the stakeholders, and it's distributed to them explaining what works are taking place and what are about to come through. But the eventuality of Tuesday, we went out specially to all the stakeholders because we told them it would be open on Tuesday and explained the circumstances we're in. So there are regular bulletins, but if it necessitates it, we'll go out on an individual basis.
All right, councillors, are there any other speakers to this motion? None? No? Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. The motion on the screen. Thank you. That's unanimous. So I declare that motion carried. We're moving to agenda item 6.5, and we are looking at the 2018-19 third quarter year-to-date financial performance report. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No, thank you. I'm looking for a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Oak, thank you. And a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Rees, thank you very much. Councillor Oak, to you to speak to the motion, please.
Oh, sorry. Yes, sorry. I've skipped to the wrong one. Yes, I can. Just let me get to the right. Sorry, I forgot that this one has moved. 6.5. I actually was going to ask Michael Tenace to provide a short presentation, if that's okay, Lord Mayor.
Yes, thank you, Lord Mayor, Councillor Oak. Very, very quickly, I think the council's performing extremely well on a year-to-date basis. Current surplus is $20.9 million, up on budget by $11.7 million. This is an increase on the position at February of around $4 million. So the performance we're seeing to date does continue to resonate throughout the second half of the year. The majority of the revenue is driven by building services fees, the excess revenue, and also commercial sales and revenue, which is up as well. And we've got some, due to our material cash reserves at the moment, we do have some favourable interest revenue coming through. However, that will start to taper off as we do have some significant commitments to capital between now and August, and that we'll start to see that balance reduce down as that capital is expended. In terms of expenses, once again, we have been controlling our expenses quite efficiently, particularly in the materials and services area, and we do have one or two areas where there are some overspends. The main one is in doubtful debts, which is $2.3 million up due to Fines Victoria. But there's ongoing dialogue in terms of our impending collections in regards to that. I'll probably just leave it there, Lord Mayor. If there's any questions, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Michael Tenace, who is our CFO, which is a good
thing to note, yes, for the record, making that presentation. So, Councillor Oak, over. Well, sorry, councillors, any other questions before we move on to speaking to the motion? No, Councillor Oak, over to you. Thank you.
Now that we've had such an eloquent presentation, no, I certainly recommend that we accept the quarterly financial performance. Thank Michael and the team for the report, including the analysis of, you know, why the numbers are what we read, and acknowledge the work that's gone into it.
It's good to do that. Councillor Rees, as seconder, would you like to speak to the motion? No. Councillors, is there anybody else that would like to speak to this motion? No? Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. That's unanimous, and so we declare that motion carried. We're now at item 6.6, which is Shrine of Remembrance request for new agreement and increased funding support. At this point, I am going to note that I have a conflict of interest because under the Shrine of Remembrance Act, I've actually am appointed as a trustee, and therefore a conflict arises. And I'm noting at this point that due to the absence of Councillor Wood, our Deputy Lord Mayor, that our Chief Council Governance and Governance Manager is going to manage the matter from here on in. So let me leave before I say anything else.
Councillors, the local law provides that In this unusual event where we don't have the Lord Mayor or the Deputy Lord Mayor, that councillors determine who will be the chair for this section. So I'll call on a councillor to move a motion. We do have one drafted ready to put a name in.
Do we nominate a chair, or
to chair the
meeting? Can I make a nomination then? Or I'd like to nominate Susan Riley, Councillor Riley.
Do we have a seconder? Need a Councillor Watts is seconding. Put that to the vote. All those in favour? Carried.
All right, where are we up to? Shrine of Remembrance. All right, there is a... Can we see it on the board? Oh, there you go. Okay, it's agenda item 6.5. No, it's not. It's 6.6. Why is that not moved? Here we go. It's the Shrine of Remembrance request for a new agreement and increased funding support. Could I ask the councillors, is there anyone that would like to ask a question of officers? No,
but I'm happy to move the recommendation on the screen.
Is there a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Oak. A seconder to that, Councillor Rees. Thank you. Councillor Oak, would you like to speak to it?
Yeah, I acknowledge Deputy Lord Mayor and Chair of the Finance and Governance Committee, Aaron Wood, who's not here this evening, made an amendment that we did discuss amongst councillors today about the addition in that recommendation about adding back in the CPI at 9.1. So I'm acknowledging the change there in the motion, and acknowledge that that this is different to management's recommendation, but the rest of management's recommendation stays the same. In moving this, I acknowledge that that this agreement, I acknowledge the work that officers have done, in particular Jane Charwood, in coming to this, the recommendation in front of us, but note that Deputy Lord Mayor, in receiving the submission from the CEO of the Shrine, even though it's nowhere near what they were requesting from us that we've got forward here, nor is, nor will adding the CPI make much difference towards what they were requesting. It is at least an acknowledgement that we're in a negotiation about a new grant, and whilst it is different to practice that we our current policy of large grants for other organisations, we don't add CPI to those. Deputy Lord Mayor thought it was an addition that he would like, and so I'm honouring his, or not honouring, I'm reflecting his intention if he was chairing in this section. It is a large grant. It is one of the largest. The cash contribution is only a small part, actually, of what we actually provide the Shrine, an important institution, an important organisation in the City of Melbourne, and obviously a service... an organisation and a place that many, many visitors go for many, many reasons in our city. So it's important that we do support what they do. It is, we have obligations under the Act to do so, and I believe that the proposal from management meets our obligations under the Act. I think it's appropriate that the MOU that is to be negotiated and is noted under 9.3 and 9.4 that it does actually make clear, though, that we're giving a lot of cash but also a lot of in-kind services, and I think it's important that that's spelled out under the new MOU, and I believe that that is the expectation from management, that that's what will be in the MOU, a clearly spelled out table of the value that the Shrine receives from the City of Melbourne, not just in the grant, the cash grant, but in the in-kind services as well. So I think that it's a fair offer from the city, and I think it in no way reduces the interest that the City of Melbourne has in the Shrine. I think it just is an appropriate recompense for the role that the City of Melbourne should be providing in the services that the Shrine provides to the city.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. Councillor Rees, would you like to speak as the seconder?
Yes, I would. Councillor Riley, I think all councillors and the City of Melbourne recognise the importance of the Shrine to our city. It is the most solemn of places. It is the most important of places. It is part of the fabric of this city, and it is the centre for the respect and the remembrance that we pay and honour to those who have fallen defending all that we hold dear. For the City of Melbourne, that's not just words. We back up those words with our very generous annual financial support for the City of Melbourne. In 2017-18, no less than $835,206 of ratepayers' money goes towards supporting the Shrine, which we do to fulfil our obligations under the Shrine of Remembrance Act 1978. The good news here tonight is that the City of Melbourne is continuing that very generous support for the Shrine with an annual grant, base grant, I should say, of $333,000, which will be indexed with CPI going forward. When you add in the other supports that the city provides, effectively that means a ongoing continuation in the level and degree of support for the Shrine in real terms. And we do that because it's the right thing to do and because we want to honour those who have served.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. Are there any speakers against the motion? Are there any further speakers for the motion? Councillor Pinder?
Thank you, Councillor Riley. I want to acknowledge or reiterate Councillor Rees's comments just now, but I also urge Shrine management to earnestly work towards seeking funding streams that will enable them to move forward confidently in years to come, and having that greater financial stability and confidence will only serve to make this iconic respectful place achieve greater stability.
Thank you, Councillor Pinder. Councillor Watts.
Thank you. I would make a couple of points. I consider this a generous contribution to the shrine, an important iconic place of remembrance, but also as chair of Knowledge City, I want to remind us all that it's a place of learning. It is a museum. School groups go there. Tourists go there. I get the notes indicate more than 1 million visitors a year go there. This is a very important place of learning in our city, and the ratepayers of Melbourne, I'm sure, are going to be very supportive of our contribution, which I reiterate is generous.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Is there any other speakers to the motion? I might like just to add that this is a place of respect, and we have always done so. And I think negotiating this particular memorandum of understanding, and I must say thank you very much to Jane Sharwood for negotiating it. It would not have been easy, but the right decision has been made, and we will continue to support it. And as Councillor Pinder said, maybe it is a time where the shrine needs to look inside and say where else can they gain the funds. And as you said, Councillor Watts, a dollar coin donation to all those events with 1 million people really makes it very worthwhile. I'll now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. And that has been passed unanimously. Could you please ask the Lord Mayor to return?
Thank you, councillors. That brings us to item 6.7, Queen Victoria Market Committee of Trustees and Management Structure. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? Question from Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And it might be a little bit of a Dorothy Dixer, but I'd like to ask the CEO a question about the attachment 5, the proposed new governance and management structure. The arrows themselves aren't defined, but I understand this is a reporting structure rather than an accountability structure. Are you able to confirm that, but also comment perhaps on what that might mean for our QVM PR project delivery team that is proposed to report through to the board as an example? Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Leppard. Look, the QVM project renewal team will continue to be full employees of the City of Melbourne and fully accountable to the City of Melbourne. The decision-making body for the renewal project is the City of Melbourne. The board, and they'll establish a subcommittee, will, and if you think of it in terms of a coordinating group to ensure that the QVM management team and the QVM project renewal team, that they are coordinating the activity and providing advice to council. Should council determine to delegate funds through them for the renewal project, they can do so, but that's a decision entirely for the City of Melbourne. So all of the accountabilities of the QVM renewal team, and I note Joe Wandell is here this evening, Joe Wandell's reporting structure remains the same. She reports into the city, but she will take project information into the board subcommittee and seek their advice. And I think the word coordination is a good term to use.
All right. So any other questions at this point? We're not doing presentation questions. No, thank you. Well, look, I'm going to move this motion.
Lord Mayor, can I suggest to you as mover a very minor amendment to part 4 of the resolution? The proposed words are just to add and requests a report to a future council meeting evaluating the governance framework for Queen Victoria Market renewal and operations management. So all that is requesting another report to evaluate what we're hopefully going to agree to tonight. If you're happy with that, I'm happy to second it or not, but it's up to you, Lord Mayor, and thank
okay.
you.
So what we want to do then, and thank you, Councillor Leppett, is we're going to move the motion that is appearing on the screen right now. And Jody, I believe you've got those words. Yep.
So it's not yet my motion, but I'm happy to answer that question if you're happy to let me, Lord Mayor. It was deliberate to not put in a time frame just for a couple of reasons. We're expecting another report in December anyway to review the terms of reference of the Committee of Trustees. That might be an appropriate time to do this. Our CEO is also going to be on leave, and I think we need to let the flexibility sit there as to when he'd like that to come back as well. So it was deliberate to not put a time frame on it. Obviously, it's not going to be let to sit and never come back, but I think we just wanted to let that flexibility sit in there. I think that's implicit, but sure. In 2019, okay, that's an improvement. If the move is happy with that as well.
So we're going to add Jody a request report to a future council meeting in 2019, evaluating the governance framework for Queen Victoria Market. Are there any other questions or comments at this point? Because what we'll do is I'll move this motion as it appears on the screen. And I'm looking for a seconder to that motion. Councillor Leppett, thank you. All right. Well, as we know, we've already said tonight that Queen Victoria Market is a very important precinct, and the activities that happen there day to day as a market, together with the renewal project, are priorities for all of us here at the City of Melbourne. This motion, as amended here, picks up a number of items. And reflects back on some of the governance changes that were made previously in relation to the way the Committee of Trustees has been operating, as well as since that time, suggesting, as we can see from the motion, some updates to the management structure. Just to speak to those two items first, the Committee of Trustees, originally it was intended for the Committee of Trustees to review terms of reference and the way that it was operating within 6 months of commencing. It has been proposed, and it's proposed in this motion, but also following some discussion, that having a review following 12 months would probably be more valuable and worthwhile, because there'll be more activity from which to review and make any suggestions for refinements and change. And so I think as an observation, it's a brand new type of body in terms of how it came into the governance structure. It brings together, as we know, representatives from across community, traders, customers, councillors and management from both QVM, PTY, LTD and the council to be able to deep dive into issues and provide advice. And so the proposal in this motion is that the review of how that is operating, and as I said, suggestions for improvement will happen in December 2019. We can also see in the report and reflected in this motion is a change to management The purpose of that and the basis of that recommendation and that motion is that, as we know, over the time that not just the market's been running, but particularly where there's been the overlay of the renewal program, is that it really is important to make sure that we remain very open to ways in which we can keep improving the way that all of the various stakeholders work together, and most particularly those that have accountabilities for the operations and the infrastructure project, together with the way that works in with council. And I think it's a fantastic reflection of everybody involved that we can keep evolving the management structure so that it properly reflects the demands and challenges that come up through this process, and also the opportunities, as I said, to keep improving. We know that this is an incredibly important asset, not just to the City of Melbourne, but to the people of Greater Melbourne and Victoria for so many reasons that are both local and international. We know that this is a significant renewal project. From our point of view, it is our biggest and in many ways one of the most influential projects that we have underway. The renewal project in itself as an infrastructure project would be considered a major project, not just amongst our program, but other government programs as well. So the scale of this is not to be underestimated, and the import of it as well. So as we balance the rollout of a major infrastructure renewal project, as we balance that with wanting to make sure and support an ongoing operation of the market to be as successful as it possibly can, it is appropriate that we look continually at ways in which we can keep improving transparency, making sure that the right people have the right information to be able to make decisions, where we keep reviewing the alignment of goals, timetables, and the implementation of initiatives and activity. And therefore, we're ensuring that everybody involved in this project and the ongoing operations are able to do so in the most efficient and effective ways, so that we can keep confidently moving forward on a day-to-day and a long-term basis for this very important place, which is Queen Victoria Market and the precinct in which it's operating. So for all of those reasons, I'm really happy to support the motion, and I note that the addition of the request to evaluate the governance, which, similar to the review of the way the Committee of Trustees, given that there has been change, I also support, I think is appropriate. I thank Councillor Leppert for raising the idea, and I note as well that it has the support of management. And so for all of those reasons as well, I'm really happy to propose this motion. Councillor Leppert, as seconder, would you like to speak to the motion, please?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. We're doing this for all the reasons that you've said, and I agree with your comments. And I thank you for your indulgence and that of my colleagues for walking in this suggested additional words, a suggested amendment, didn't even have to move it. So thank you for your perseverance, colleagues. But can I particularly thank the CEO? This is an important report and recommendation that complements, I think, our earlier decisions to consolidate some of the governance structures of QVM operations and QVM renewal, so that we are continually striving to talk with one voice and to make sure that the decisions of the parent company and the subsidiary company complement rather than contradict each other. I'm not saying that that was a massive problem before, but I think we always continually have to strive to ensure that we are being as efficient and complementary and coordinated in our response to renewal as we possibly can be. And I believe that the recommended reforms to the existing structure will continue to help us do that. I acknowledge the members of the board and management of QVM Proprietary Limited who are with us today, and the tweak that I have to the motion here is not a reflection on anyone. It is meant to complement, I think, what is a view held by them and by everyone in this room, and that is that the parent company and its subsidiary company will continue to strive to be as coordinated as possible as we deliver renewal. That is the objective we're all seeking here. And so my tweak here is just to continue to review the performance of that structure, but it is a minor part of the overall resolution here. I think that the dissolution of the project control group and the creation of a subcommittee of the board and vesting within the board quite an important and larger coordination role is very significant, and it's something that we should be supporting here in this place. And for all the other reasons that you've set out, Lord Mayor, I'm looking forward to this new structure working as efficiently as it can.
Thank you, Councillor Leppert. Councillors, would anybody else like to speak to this motion? Councillor Pinder?
Lord Mayor, thank you. I believe this board structure, wider than just two members, was always going to be the best option. So it has just taken us a while to return to this point. And I do believe that our CEO's recommendations are very, very, very sound and would deliver much more expedient conduct of business by our QVM subsidiary, as well as streamlining the dealings with City of Melbourne, providing far clearer accountability. So well done to our CEO.
Good, Councillor Pender, thank you. Any other speakers to this motion this evening? Councillor Francis Gilley.
I think I'm on the edge of speaking to the motion, but as I can't think of another place, I'm going to use it because it's about governance. And I think increasingly as we see motions about, as we see the amount of work that we're doing at Queen Victoria Market and the amount of money that we're spending in terms of capital, time, resources, ongoing budget, when I started at council, I thought what this was really about was safeguarding a market that I've been going to for 20 years since I first arrived here and love it. But increasingly, I think if we are doing this and we are looking for appropriate governance structures to deliver a great outcome there, that outcome must be broader than just the market. And so, you know, when I arrived here at first and thought about a car park and you know, should that be a park and should we extend roads, for me now, the only justification for caring for this jewel is thinking about its setting. And actually, you know, beautiful jewels are held in settings. And actually, the setting of this is that we've got the corner of the city. There's some open space. It's on the edge of the park. It isn't crowded out by tall buildings. And I think we just have to really balance here the focus on the market versus where the market sits. And I think that's really shifted for me. And I hope that these governance structures really hold the market in the most broad context.
Thank you, Councillor Francis Gilley. Absolutely, the importance of it as a precinct within our fastest growing neighbourhood and within the city more broadly is really important. So the good jewels deserve fine settings, is that what you said? Just write that down. Any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Oak.
I think the two figures within the report are, you know, highlight exactly what it is that we're talking about, in that the previous structure had a lot of boxes and lines, and the new proposed structure is a lot simpler in understanding who's doing what for what purpose. And yes, there are lots of objectives and lots of plans and lots of outcomes, but who is in control to make sure that they actually are achieved? And I think, you know, this helps us to see on one page how it's how it should work, and makes it a lot simpler. But I appreciate the addition at 8.4 of a report that spells it out even further, because it is, whilst it looks neat, just to make sure that we are actually all very clear about who's doing what for what purpose, what outcome and what objective. So I think and noting the current board members and CEO in the room, I think that I haven't spoken to them, but I assume they do also appreciate making sure that we're all very clear about who's doing what. So I appreciate that it's a lot simpler in the diagram and in the report in front of us, but would like a little bit more detail, and that's why I support the addition at 8.4 as well.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. Are there any other speakers to the motion? Note that I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. And that's unanimous. So we can declare that motion carried. We are now moving to our review of councillor protocol. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item?
No. Just a quick question, a clarification for Keith Williamson. Is that all right? Just to confirm that we're wanting to adopt this as final, not as a draft. Is that correct?
Through you, Lord Mayor. Yes, I'm happy for you to take the word draft out. That'll be clear then that we're actually adopting the councillor protocol that's at attachment two.
Yeah, great. I'm happy to move. Would you like me to move that then, Lord Mayor? Is that all right?
I'm looking for a councillor to move that motion. Councillor Oak, thank you. And a councillor to second. Thank you, Councillor Francis Gilley. Councillor Oak, as the mover of the motion, would you like to speak to it, please?
Yes, I acknowledge again the work that Deputy Lord Mayor Aaron Wood, as Chair of the Finance and Governance Portfolio, the work that he and Keith and Jack and others other officers put into reviewing the councillor protocol as we'd had agreed to last year. This is the result of a lot of conversation and a lot of work, as it states in the key issues in the report. It's about making sure that it's clear, that we're streamlining our protocols, not only around media, but also advice that we're receiving from management. It's a clarification of the responsibilities and the roles that we all undertake within our portfolios, but also as councillors and in the Lord Mayor and Deputy Lord Mayor roles as well, and other general updates. I think it is important that it's all written down and that it's all clear, but it's even more important that we actually follow it. Noting as well that last year we agreed that the councillor protocol does come under our code of conduct, so that actually adds another layer of significance to if we don't follow the protocol that I propose, and I assume that we all agree because we all worked on it, that if we do adopt this tonight, that we are adopting a protocol that is actually... There are consequences under the Local Government Act if we don't actually meet our obligations. So it's on all of us to make sure that we do that, and I think it's really clear, you know, the consequences within there and within the code of conduct, what happens if we don't. But hopefully it does provide a lot more guidance, not only to ourselves but also to management, about how, you know, how we operate and the information that we need to make sure that we represent the city well, which I know that we all take very seriously. I think that's all I'd like to say.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. Councillor Francis Gilley, as the seconder, would you like to speak to the motion?
Only to support Councillor Oak. I think we spent some time on this, and I think it's really important and appropriate that we do. With any colleagues, when you're working together, it's good to understand and agree the ways that you're going to work, and so that you can do that in a way that is supportive, kind, focused, and delivering the outcomes for the city. So I think it's been great that we spent this time together working on it. I think it's good that we've taken the time that we've taken, and it's great that we've now got to the point that we're going to adopt it. It's no longer a draft.
Thank you, Councillor Francis Gilley. Councillors, are there any other speakers to this motion this evening? No, I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. It is unanimous. And well done. That's a great piece of work finalised. Good. Well, this concludes the reports from management to be considered in open session this evening. There is one item of general business to be considered in open session, and it's item 7.1, which is proposed attendance by Councillor Cathy Oak at the Climate Action Roundtable and Asia Pacific Climate Leadership Forum in Brisbane and the Strategic Partnerships for the Implementation of the Paris Agreement meeting in Canberra, both of which are in June 2019. In fact, they're in the same week. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No, good. Then I'm going to... did you want to make a presentation at all? No. I'm going to move the motion, and I'm looking for a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Rees, thank you very much. As mover of the motion, I'd like to just note a couple of things. One, these are very important meetings for us that support not only our ambitions under our climate mitigation strategy, which we recently signed off, but of course, as is the way with these sorts of issues, in doing that, we're also adding significantly to the work that happens right across Melbourne, Victoria and Australia as we work towards our role in what is an international issue. These two meetings have come up, and both of them are incredibly important, both in terms of our contribution and presence at the forums, our leadership on these issues. It's really important that we are there to demonstrate that, to encourage others to do the same, and to add our influence and weight on these issues to these important discussions. They're also the sorts of forums where we can learn a lot, so it'll be fantastic for Councillor Oak to be there representing us, both to show our leadership and commitment
And secondly, to have somebody there who can be very aware of the issues and bring back any observations, learnings, or further action that might be required. It is appreciated by me, particularly because I wasn't able to attend these due to the logistic reasons, in no way reflecting a lack of commitment to them, that Councillor Oak has made herself available for these two events, both of which occur in the same week, which is quite an impost in terms of time. Means you'll also be missing some council time, so we really appreciate that as well. It's absolutely appropriate, I believe, that you're doing it because you're somebody where not only do you have extensive expertise in this area, but you are the relevant portfolio chair and you are somebody that has international standing through your work with ICLEI and your leadership at ICLEI to be able to represent us very well in these forums. So for all of those reasons, I'm happy to propose this motion, and I'm looking for our seconder, Councillor Frances Gillie, to see if... Sorry, Councillor Rees. I should have written it down. Councillor Rees, for you to speak to the motion as seconder.
Thanks very much, Lord Mayor. Look, as I've said before, Melbourne is very lucky to have Councillor Cathy Oak, who is a world-leading thinker on climate change and more specifically on what cities can do better to tackle climate change. But she's not just a policy thinker, she's a doer as well and an activist in this area. And it'll be great to have her intellect and her passion representing Melbourne at these conferences.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. Now, Councillor Frances Gillie, would you like to speak to the motion? Thank you.
Obviously channeling my inner thoughts there. I think in the last couple of weeks, clearly there are some things that are happening with climate change in this country and around the world. I mean, we've elected a government that have explicitly said that they are, you know, they will not be doing more in this area at a time when there is the evidence is mounting that we need to accelerate any actions that we've put in place. And I read with real sadness at the weekend that a Chinese spokesman had said that that they were now recognizing that with the Arctic not freezing over, that it would reduce the time of taking ships from China to America by 12 days and increase the profitability, therefore, of those goods traveling there. I think it's clearly, therefore, important that when people do understand the importance of this issue, when they know historically how that story is fitted together, when they have the ability to articulate that, and then in the case of Councillor Oak, have standing not only here in this city, but nationally and internationally, that we create every opportunity we can for Councillor Oak to raise these issues and speak, you know, very authoritarian. Thank you, in terms of action that we might take.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers to this motion, Councillor Oak?
Not to add more to the very generous words and support from my colleagues, but just to point out a few reasons why I think it's incredibly important. I don't take lightly two trips in 1 week. It is actually a lot of effort, and I don't like missing council meetings either, but it is actually the first time in recent memory where there's been such significant meeting, a gathering of local government and regional governments, the state governments, and also Asia Pacific regional leaders coming together to talk about advocacy and action on climate change. And whilst I've done a lot of these meetings internationally, it is actually the first time of a meeting at this level, particularly focused around advocacy, not climate conferences per se about certain things, but about advocacy in particular, with Al Gore as a significant contributor to this. But I think it's really more important about the cities and states that are in attendance as well, that I didn't necessarily question the importance of going. But So I'm really glad that the Lord Mayor passed it on and provided the opportunity for the City of Melbourne to be represented. I'm in particular talking about the climate groups, Climate Action Roundtable and the Asia Pacific Climate Leadership Forum. I think it's incredibly important we're there. I acknowledge Chris Thrum's submission, his identification of the importance of the role that we play in working with Asia Pacific cities as well, and note that one of the things that I'm interested in advocating or at least acknowledging is the City of Melbourne's role in particular around in our business partnerships in connecting with Asia Pacific cities and your recent trip there, Lord Mayor, but the work that Councillor Louis does in particular in Asia Pacific, that we need to be doing a lot more in our city in aligning what we do with our business relationships with our sustainability and our resilience work, in that we're, you know, that we need to make sure that we're aligning at a far greater. We have done in the past, but we need to do it a lot more explicitly in the knowledge and technology transfer that we can do with the cities when we're also talking about economy, because, you know, essentially they're vitally and importantly linked. Also, I'm really excited and interested that biodiversity is finally on the agenda when we're talking about climate change. Not only at the UN Climate Week in New York in September that this meeting is connected to, but it is explicitly on the agenda at the meeting next week. And the City of Melbourne is leading, I believe, in this space in acknowledging and linking nature, biodiversity and climate mitigation and adaptation. So I think, again, it's important that we're there to showcase what we're doing, because we've got so much to share in that space. So I think it's great that it's on the agenda, and again, acknowledge that Chris identified that in his submission as well. And just to note that the SEPA meeting, the Strategic Partnerships meeting in Canberra during the week as well, that's a significant group and a significant fund of money that ICLEI Oceania actually received, and we've been the host for many, many years of ICLEI Oceania, but that this is a meeting that they're convening. I'm there in my role as ICLEI Vice President, but it is an important meeting of cities and regions and universities looking at how we better collaborate to meet the Paris Agreement. So, again, important that the City of Melbourne is there. So thank you for your support if you support this recommendation, and I will bring back a report.
Thanks, Councillor Oak. Are there any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Watts.
I would like to speak. Oh, I'm sorry. So I'll be very brief, but I just wanted to say that it's very important at this point in time that we have someone who can speak up as eloquently and knowledgeably as our colleague. These are dark times in our nation in relation to climate, in my view, and I think the city has a very important role to play. We're a rich city, we're a savvy city, we understand the problem, and we have an obligation to step up. And we are going to do so, I think, through Councillor Oak.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Councillor Riley.
Oh, I agree with Councillor Watts. She just took the words right out of my mouth. Couldn't think of any other councillor that is more qualified to go ahead and present us at this very, very important meetings.
Thank you. Any other speakers to the motion? Nope, then I'm putting it to the vote. All those in favour? Wonderful. That is unanimous, and so I declare the motion carried. Well, this concludes the items of general business to be considered in open session. Councillors, are there any items of urgent business for open session this evening? No, then I call on a councillor to move the motion displayed on the screen, and that motion is to close this meeting to the public so that we can continue by considering items of confidential business. And Councillor Pinder is moving the motion. Councillor Riley is seconding the motion. I'm now putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour? Good, it's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you to the members of the public for your interest and your attendance this evening, and I declare the open meeting closed at 6:40 p.m. Thank you.